truth seekers. This is your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow here for one more hour with you. We'll be getting to some of your calls. I know some of you have been hanging on for a while. Keep hanging in there. Our phone number is 877-520-1150, 877-520-1150. Stop by our chat room at bradblog.com. It was sponsored by Scribble Live. Thank you very much, guys. You can also tweet me at the Brad Blog, and you can find us on the Facebook, also at the Brad Blog. You can also find my guest, Don Siegelman, and a link to a petition to President Obama for a pardon over at Facebook at, I think you search for Free Don Siegelman. Thanks to one of the chatters in the chat room for that information. Otherwise, you can go to donsiegelman.org. Okay, I asked the governor to hang on here with me for just another minute or two because I had a few questions I wanted to get through. But to reset, former Democratic Governor Don Siegelman served from 1999 to 2003 until he was essentially railroaded. And I can see no other way to put that, by Karl Rove and the U.S. Department of Justice for something that has never been a crime before in the history of this country. And by September 11th of this year, unless something happens, I know he's appealed his sentencing, unless something happens, he's going back to federal prison for 6.5 years, and he'll be leaving his wife and his daughter for 6.5 years for something that has never been a crime in the history of this country. But I had a few more questions I wanted to run through very quickly here with the governor. Are you still there, Governor?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. I'm ready.
All right, good.
I've got some things for your listeners, too, but go ahead. You first.
I bet you do. Okay. All right. Well, let's fly through these then very quickly. How was your case different? This is something that really, really, I got to say, ticks me off. How was what happened here in your case different from what happened to the powerful Republican senator from Alaska, Ted Stevens, who he has since died, but he was charged with taking millions in bribes before seeing his case dropped by the Obama Department of Justice when they came to power? What happened there that his case was dropped and your case moved forward? Do you understand the difference that what happened here? Can you help me understand this, Governor?
Well, I think that the Republican power brokers, worked their will with the powers that be.
He was let off the hook because he was a Republican.
Well, I think in part, but also because there was prosecutorial misconduct in his case. My problem with the Ted Stevens case is not that his case was dismissed and the charges vacated, but the prosecutorial misconduct in my case makes everything else pale in comparison.
I agree. That's why I don't.
We've got Republican lawyers and a Republican Department of Justice employee, a whistleblower, who came forward and testified about how they coached the witness and how, this was all a setup by Karl Rove. I want to get in a couple of things real quickly before I know you've got to go. You've got other things to talk about.
Okay, go ahead. I had a couple more questions, but go ahead and get in what you like to, please.
Well, I wanted to address your listeners. I know that most people don't want to believe that in this country that we would torture people to get information. They don't want to believe that we would authorize illegal wiretaps. They don't want to believe that we would be led into war under false pretenses. They don't want to believe that elections in this country are stolen or that their Department of Justice could be used as a weapon to win elections. Yeah, I want to talk about two people involved in my campaign, in my my reelection campaign that was stolen. One was Karl Rove's client, who was rewarded by being appointed to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, and there he sits today as the Chief Justice of the 11th Circuit.
Overseeing your case, correct?
Overseeing my case.
Right.
This is the guy as Karl Rove's client. And I'll have to say this. The guy is basically intellectually honest, but when it came down to the crunch, when Rove said, stop this recount, I had won my election. They had stolen it. I wanted a recount in one little tiny precinct in this Republican county. And it was Karl Rove's client who stood in the way and participated in the stealing of my election.
Explain what happened, Governor, the night of that election when, as I understand it, as you've told me in the past, you went to bed thinking you won the election.
I had won the election. The votes were counted. It was done. The poll watchers, the party officials, the media had been sent home. I was declared the winner of the 2002 gubernatorial election in Alabama by CBS, NBC, everybody said the election's over, Sigelman won. Then after midnight, the lights go out in the courthouse in the South Alabama county, and in the sheriff's office, there is a quote recount. Nobody's there to watch the recount. They just shift 5,000 votes of mine to my opponent, the Karl Rove supported candidate. And oddly enough, while it affects my race, it doesn't impact any down ballot race by one single vote. So they take 5,000 votes from the governor's race and move it to from the Democratic column to the Republican column, but it doesn't impact any down ballot race.
And this was done
impossible.
This was done electronically, correct?
Yes,
it was the tabulators. Now, were these touchscreen machines down there or paper ballot systems down there?
It was a paper ballot.
Paper ballot system, but it was an electronic tabulator where the numbers changed and shifted.
And there have been study after study by universities, professors, mm-hmm. and they have concluded that there is no explanation other than the votes were stolen. But the guys that was given credit, I mean, the one who stopped the recount was Karl Rove's client, who was then appointed to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. The people given credit were Karl Rove's partner and this guy that went to work for Tom DeLay and Jack Abramoff.
And they would not let you count those paper ballots? The numbers shifted on the tabulator, but they would not let you count the actual ballots to see what they the paper ballots.
That's all we asked for. And what was so odd was that the local officials, even though they were Republicans, the local officials invited me in to count the ballots. But Karl Rove's client stepped in and said, anybody that touches those ballots is going to jail. Now, I want to shift quickly to the judge who tried my case. He was vetted by Karl Rove, appointed by George Bush, as an interim appointee. He had a little sideline business called DOS Aviation. DOS Aviation was a company that was being funneled Defense Department contracts through his godfather, who was the congressman from the district, and also from other state official Republican officials, U.S. senators. But my point here is that here is this guy who's a federal judge, and he has this sideline business of refueling planes, training pilots, and providing uniforms for the FBI as well as U.S. Air Force pilots. In the course of my trial, he is notified that he is up for a $200 million a year contract. And at the conclusion of my trial, he is granted that $200 million a year renewable Defense Department contract. The whole thing stinks to high heaven. And I know I am not one of the conspiracy theorists. You know, I'm not generally one of those guys who comes up with these, you know, weird things that don't seem to make sense unless you start connecting the dots and then it appears to be something.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is that that this is a matter of fact, that during the trial he was told he was up for this contract. At the conclusion of the trial, he was given the contract by the United States government.
Governor, I think after what you've gone through here, you don't have to apologize for being a conspiracy theorist. There was clearly a conspiracy going on. It's not a theory. When your votes disappear in the middle of the night, only in your race, and they will not let you count the votes, that's obviously something is going on here. What they have gone through for the years and years after that, to take you down as, you know, God forbid there should be a powerful, likable, well-respected Democrat in the state of Alabama. It doesn't go along, with the solid South theory of Karl Rove and friends. And it just, you're right, it stinks to high heaven. Listen, I got to get to a break. I know you've been given permission to go to the Democratic National Convention next week to make your case there. Do you think there's a chance that the folks at the DNC and that President Obama will at some point see what has happened here and give you the pardon that you clearly deserve, in my opinion?
Well, I one can only hope. This is bigger than me, and that's the point I want to make with your listeners. This is not, yes, I want to be free. I don't want to go to jail for something I didn't do. I don't want to lose more time in my life fighting over something like this. But this is bigger than me. It is bigger than my freedom. It is about your freedom, this country's freedom. It's about restoring justice and preserving our democracy. And that's why, you know, yes, I encourage people to go online and sign this petition, donsigelman.org, Free Don. But this is something, this is a message that has to be taken to the president and has to be taken to the American people. We cannot tolerate this kind of behavior in this country if our democracy and our freedoms are going to be sustained.
Governor, I hear you. And I think it's interesting that you said in the previous break, if it could happen to me, it could happen to anyone. That is something that we heard one of the delegates at the Republican National Convention saying in the first hour. After this uprising by the Ron Paul folks out there, when the Republican Party just shut them out and they were complaining about what the Republicans were doing to Republicans. And one of the delegates said, if it could happen to us, it could happen to anyone. We're hearing that a lot. We're hearing that too much. I thank you, frankly, for your service to your country and to your state. I wish you the best of luck next week at the DNC, the best of luck with a pardon from the president. And good luck if you do end up going away here in a week or so. My best luck to you and your family, sir.
Well, I am going away, but I will be speaking as loudly as I can about this. Not again, not just because of me, but because of my love for this country and for our freedoms that we need to protect.
Thank you
so much, Brad.
Thank you, Governor. Governor Don Siegelman. You can check out that petition for his pardon from President Obama, the appeal for pardon from President Obama, at donsiegelman.org. All right. We ran a little long there, so we're going to have to come back. It's going to have to be a short segment. And then we will try to get to your calls, 877-520-1150. Hopefully we'll have some time for Desi Doyen and some green news. Brother. And guess what else happened this week? No charges in the CIA detainee death investigations. Go figure. Cheer up, America. This is your Mike Malloy Show. Can't get much worse, can it? You're listening to Brad. Stay tuned.
It's a long, hard road. It's a long, hard road. It's a long, hard road. Maybe far, we'll be free.
Well, I've been down so goddamn long that it looks like up to me.
So, Don Siegelman is going to jail for something that has never been a crime, for receiving no financial benefits for what happened. And contrast that to, with this story that we have from ABC yesterday. The U.S. government said Thursday it had closed its investigation into the alleged torture of more than 100 detainees held by the CIA in overseas prisons and the deaths of two men who died while in CIA custody without prosecuting anyone. The Justice Department's announcement Thursday that it would not bring charges in the deaths of terror suspects Ghul Rahman and Manadel al-Jamadi formally ended a multi-year probe by Assistant U.S. Attorney John Durham into the CIA's controversial enhanced interrogation program. Based on the, quote, based on the fully developed factual record concerning the two deaths, the department has declined prosecution because the admissible evidence would not be sufficient to obtain and sustain a conviction beyond a reasonable doubt, said Attorney General Eric Holder in a statement released Thursday afternoon. Rahman, a suspected Afghan militant, died in 2002 in a CIA prison known as the Salt Pit, when he was left shackled to a cement floor in a near-freezing room. Iraqi prisoner Manadel al-Jamadi died in the infamous Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq in 2003, only hours after he was captured by the military. In a statement, ACLU Deputy Legal Director Jamil Jeffer said, called the Justice Department's decision, quote, nothing short of a scandal. The Justice Department has declined to bring charges against the officials who authorized torture, the lawyers who sought to legitimate it, and the interrogators who used it, said Jaffer. It has successfully shut down every legal suit meant to hold officials civilly liable. Today's decision not to file charges against individuals who tortured prisoners to death is yet another entry in what is already a shameful record. Former CIA Director Michael Hayden applauded the decision to close the inquiry. Assistant U.S. Attorney Durham was initially appointed by Attorney General Michael Mukasey in January of 2008 to investigate the destruction of waterboarding videotapes by CIA official Jose Rodriguez. No charges were filed at the conclusion of that investigation either. And yet, Don Siegelman is going to jail for 6.5 years for doing nothing. Stay tuned.
If we weren't so down, we'd up
there. Well, they're building a gallows outside my cell, and I've got 25 minutes to go, and the whole town's waiting just to hear me yell. I got 24 minutes to go. Well, they gave me some beans for my last meal with 23 minutes to go.
23 minutes. Yeah, that's what we got. 23 minutes right here on your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. Filling in for Mike tonight. Monday is Labor Day. I think we're going to have a best of Mike Malloy on Monday. And then he'll be back with you on Tuesday. So that's your schedule for the weekend ahead. 877-520-1150. Thank you guys very much for hanging on the line here. Gary in Minneapolis, sorry you had to hang on so long, but I do appreciate it. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Gary.
I can always hold on to somebody that's being railroaded into 6.5 years of prison for Karl Rove. No problem.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
I wanted to thank you and Tony for playing the Dickie's version of Giganter.
That was you. Okay, great.
That was the legendary Dickie's from Los Angeles. I called the guitarist after I heard it on and said, hey, I think I heard you on KTLK. I think you're on there. And I wanted to dedicate it to the special person who called C-SPAN about a month or two ago and asked the Romney supporter if he had a big package. He didn't actually say package, but, you know, we're on the radio, so.
Thank you, Gary. I appreciate that. Any other thoughts? I got some other callers to get to.
I only save my election questions for you when you're on. Number one, I heard on Bill Moyers, they had some election people on. Unfortunately, you weren't one of them, but they said maybe we should do like Canada does and have people register. So once they're on there, they're on there for good. And then the other two things I heard today, you can respond to me offline if you want. Or off, I want to take it off.
Okay.
The Mike Papantonio said maybe Obama should have Election Day as a national holiday, which would be good. And then the other thing he said, and I haven't heard this before, they're thinking of having a bunch of teabagger people show up at polling places. Like they're trying to get a million people together so they can go and intimidate people with cameras. And I was thinking maybe we could get them do the opposite. We could film them doing it to us.
Okay, and I'll hit all of those questions here. Let me see if I can remember them. Yes, we ought to have universal registration for everyone, period. It's the whole idea of registration at all is really just a way to keep people from voting. Number two, what was the number two?
National holiday.
National holiday, absolutely a national holiday for Election Day, but in my opinion, change it to Wednesday so people don't just use that national holiday to take a long weekend and not vote at all. And then, Tony likes the new holiday. All right. And the third question, this phony partisan group called True the Vote, and I really had hopes for them from the beginning, but they are a right-wing group. They are out there. They are not watching the polls. They are not protecting the polls. They are harassing voters. I hate to see it because I like to see more eyeballs. I talked to the founder of this group, Catherine Engelbrecht, 2 years ago. We covered her. Go look at bradblog.com and search for True the Vote. I wrote about her and how she responded to my questions. These are the groups that are pretending that Democrats are out there stealing elections, and they're going to catch them and catch all of these dead voters showing up and these non-citizen voters showing up, and it's frankly nonsense. That said, the more people watching, the better. I wish there was more people from all sides, from all parties. The entire process, including the counting, so what happened with Don Siegelman can't happen. I hope the folks from True the Vote figure it out. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, very well. All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and by the way, don't make me read. I brought it in here, but the huge list of very, very high-profile Republicans beginning with Mitt Romney, who appear to have committed voter fraud in this country. It ain't an epidemic of a Democratic voter fraud going on. There sure is a hell of a lot of it going on by Republicans, though. Thanks, Gary.
No problem. Thank you.
All right, take care. Let me get to very quickly Beverly in here we go. Beverly in Carson City, Nevada. Welcome
Yahoo.
To the Mike Malloy Show, Beverly.
Listen, very quickly, everybody in this country should know Don Siegelman's story. Very quickly, I'll get this question out of the way before going to Siegelman. Voter ID, and all the discussions I've heard over these many months, I have never, the angle about a sample ballot. I get a sample ballot prior to voting, and I take my sample ballot to the district, and I present it to the guy at the front desk gate, and he acknowledges my name and hands me a ballot, and I go vote. Can't people just take the sample ballot with them?
Oh, of course, of course they can, Beverly.
How come no one's ever brought that up?
Well, because that's not the point. It's not good enough. Now, you said voter ID, and earlier in the show, I had a rant about this. Voter ID is not a problem. It's photo ID restrictions. Polling place photo ID restrictions. Yes, there are many states that require some form of voter ID. That's not a problem. A sample ballot, a registration card. But the Republicans are taking those options away. They don't want you to use that as ID.
Part.
Yeah. No, I said out in South Carolina, for example, there were three things that you could use as ID when you went to vote: a state-issued driver's license, a state-issued photo ID, or your voter registration card that they mail to all voters. That's been the law in South Carolina for years. It wasn't a problem, and now they came in and they said everything but that last one. They were taking away the right to bring in a voter registration card to identify yourself. And that is what has been stopped by the Department of Justice. It'll probably be stopped by a federal three-judge federal panel, I hope. It's on trial this week. But, yeah, no, that's perfectly good, Beverly, that sample ballot. The Republicans won't accept it because they don't want you to vote. That's the story here.
Oh, no, I got that. Listen, very quickly, regarding Siegelman, very quickly, if I was his daughter, I would contact Madonna or Lady Gaga And because Madonna, when she was in Russia, everybody quoted her regarding the three women that were giving Putin a bad time and so forth. And my point is, you need some celebrity like Madonna or Lady Gaga that when they scratch their nose, everybody covers their
I hear you. I hope they're listening tonight. I hope they come to his aid.
Tell Sam Siegelman's daughter to, and listen, quickly, if I was Siegelman and if I was facing prison, I'd seek political asylum at the Russian embassy. that would make the headlines.
Indeed it would. Beverly, I got to roll. I appreciate your call and your good ideas there. All right, Desi Doyen joins us. Do we have time for green news even at this point? Tony, we're going to get it in? It's going to be close. Hey, Des.
Hey, let's play it now.
Play it now?
Yeah, before we run out of time.
Come on, bring it. The Green News Report.
I woke up, it was fine. Next minute, it was just like all over the place. Everything underwater, everything.
This wasn't supposed to be a Katrina. It's turning out for the East Bank to be as bad, if not worse.
Flooding, evacuations, and levee breaching as Tropical Storm Isaac moves inland. But too little too late for Midwest farmers and as House Republicans cut weather monitoring agencies. Hip deep in rhetoric at the Republican National Convention, plus...
Will this be a country that keeps moving away from foreign oil and towards renewable sources of energy like wind and solar and biofuels?
President Obama uses the C word.
All of that and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Oh, the speeches, the pageantry, the fun. It was like Christmas morning if Santa kept all the gifts for himself and filled stockings with clean coal.
Yeah, I've been watching that Republican National Convention, too. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Des, some very exciting news as we go to air today. Of course, you know that BP has a great interest in the Gulf Coast.
Indeed.
And in Louisiana. And the good news is that after the oil company made $7.7 billion in profit in the fourth quarter of 2011 and $6 billion in profit in the first quarter of this year, it has decided to donate to relief costs from Hurricane Isaac. They will be donating $1 million.
Ooh, a whole $1 million.
That's right. Very, very thoughtful of them.
Indeed. Well, Hurricane Isaac has weakened into a tropical storm again as it moves inland, still packing relentless rain and flooding and spawning a few tornadoes. President Obama has declared federal emergencies for Louisiana and Mississippi, releasing federal funds. And Louisiana's Republican Governor Bobby Jindal warned the danger is not over yet.
We're going to continue to see the weather effects of the storm, especially as it moves to the northern part of our state. On the east bank in Plaquemines Parish, there was overtopping near Braithwaite at a non-federal levee. They are considering actually doing a breach intentionally to release water.
And as we go to airtime, it appears that they will be breaching that levee to release some of that pressure. So far, it appears that the $14 billion in post-Katrina infrastructure repairs and upgrades to that federal levee system have held up to this first major test. In 2005, 1,800 people died in the flooding after the levees failed in Katrina. With Isaac, only two fatalities have been reported so far, but hundreds did have to be rescued from their rooftops and attics in flooded areas outside New Orleans.
Which is a point I should add that Breitbart.com's editor-in-chief, Mike Flynn, told me last night on Twitter he thought it was hysterical.
That's funny.
Well, he was watching Weather Channel and thought that they were making a lot out of nothing, despite the fact that hundreds and hundreds of homes were flooded out from this storm.
Unbelievable.
Breitbart.
In Mississippi on Thursday morning, officials ordered an immediate evacuation of residents near a dam on the Mississippi-Louisiana border as a precaution due to fears of a potential dam failure due to Isaac's relentless rainfall. Now, on the plus side, Tropical Storm Isaac is forecast to deliver much-needed rain to the parched Midwest, but that heavy rain may severely impact what's left of the U.S. corn and soy crops that are already decimated by this summer's record drought. While the Gulf Coast is getting hammered by Isaac, just want to point out that the Republican House majority partying in Tampa all week voted for severe cuts to our weather monitoring agencies, nearly $500 million from the National Weather Service and nearly $1 billion from FEMA. And House Republicans are proposing even deeper cuts in the lame duck session after the election.
Lame indeed.
Speaking of the Republican National Convention in Tampa, the rhetoric is flowing hip deep and keeping the fact checkers very busy. But unlike the 2008 convention, convention, the Party of Climate Science Denial has been curiously low-key this time around on energy policy. So far, no chance of drill, baby, drill, perhaps because the majority of Americans support federal clean energy investment over oil, and the GOP does not.
Also, absolutely no talk of climate change and global warming after the hottest summer on record in the history of the U.S.
Yeah, they've only had a handful of pot shots at the Obama administration, like this jab from Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell.
And now the EPA is the Employment Prevention Agency.
Of course, McDonnell is lying. The actual data shows that new pollution controls at power plants, for example, create tens of thousands more domestic jobs than are lost by federal regulations. Finally, one politician this week did mention the C word, climate change. Out of nowhere, President Obama, at a campaign speech at Iowa State University this week, said the forbidden words.
The decisions we make as a country on big issues like the economy and jobs and taxes and education and energy and war and climate change, all these decisions will directly affect your life.
Wow, climate change. Haven't heard the president mention that word either for a very long time.
Yep.
For much more on the stories we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. While you're there, please consider a donation to help sponsor the Green News Report so we can keep telling the truth over your public airwaves. Follow us on Twitter at Green News Report and find us and like us on the Facebook. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Okay, well, it is raining again in the Midwest, Des. That's the good news. I know you had some updates since that report on the Mississippi Dam.
Yeah, basically, we have very little time. So the Mississippi Dam has not been breached. They're still evacuated. They're going to assess the safety of the dam, make sure that it's still cool. What I did want to point out is, obviously, we recorded that yesterday before the final night of the RNC and Mitt Romney's speech. And what he did say, the only time that really climate change was given any real time was when Mitt Romney mocked it and said, that President Obama promised to begin to slow the rise of the oceans, and everybody thought that was
so funny, yeah,
hilarious when there's a flooding going on in Louisiana and Mississippi and people are dying. Two people died.
It was quite surprising that they didn't spend more time, but I guess when you got a hurricane and when you got all of that heat, that they didn't spend more time making global warming cracks and jokes. But
I think they're trying to not talk about it because obviously they don't believe in it, and they realize that a majority of Americans believe that climate change is happening and that the government should do something about it. Even Republicans believe that. And I also just want to point out that they lied. Obama never said, I promise, or any kind of, I promise to bring the sea levels down. He said, if we are willing to work for it, we could look back and tell our kids this was when the oceans began to go back down again. So he never said it. He promised that. He said, we should all work for this, and if we do, then we can look back and say.
Instead, this is when our kids will look back and look at clips from the RNC and see guys like Mitt Romney making fun of global warming.
Yeah, Chris Hayes, I think, tweeted that this is going to be in all the documentaries after 2050.
All right. Thank you, Des. Good job. Dave, stay on the line. I want to talk to you. We're going to take one last break, and we're back on the Mike Malloy Show. Something going out to our friends in Louisiana who are still fighting the rains and the rising waters. Good luck to y'all down there. My thanks tonight to, engineer Tony Sorrentino is back. Thank you, Tony. Great job. Appreciate it. Here at LA's K-Talk AM 1150. Of course, to producer Desi Doyen, to super-duper associate producer Margot Paez, all the folks in the chat room, all the listeners out there, to my guest Don Siegelman, please jump over to donsiegelman.org and sign that petition to the president for a pardon there, and otherwise spread the word far and wide about this outrage. Also, thanks to the folks at Scribble Live, scribblelive.com, for allowing us the use of their chat room software tonight. Much appreciated, guys. And let's see if we can fit in Dave in Arcata, California. Hey, Dave, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Well, Brad, for several years now, I have much appreciated your efforts, but I have long found you to be a very cautious, guarded gentleman. That is, at least you had been, too much so, in my opinion, because no question in my mind, but that psychopaths have taken over our country. They do it by rigging elections. This electronic voting equipment is designed to rig elections. Words like undependable, unreliable, they no longer apply. Willful, deliberate election fraud is all we can talk about. People need to be aware of it. That's what my message is to the world.
Thank you, Dave. It's a very good message, and it's always good to hear from you, my friend. Thanks for touching base, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, brother. It's hard to disagree. It really is. Man, my thanks also tonight, of course, as ever, to Kathy and Mike Malloy. They're going to be back with you on Tuesday. Got a holiday coming up this Monday. Somebody's got to enjoy themselves. This is going to get ugly before it gets less ugly between now and November. But if you're looking for me, in the meantime, I will be at bradblog.com. I'm on the Twitters at TheBradBlog, where I hope you'll follow me, and on the Facebook, where I hope you will like me. I think we're just the Brad Blog. So find us, or like, share, like. That's it, like. See, I'm not a big Facebook guy. I'm a Twitter guy. I likes the Twitter. The Facebook, I'm warming up to it. So find us over there and like us over there. My thanks, as always, to all of you listeners for tuning in, for finding us. Please keep making noise out there. Please let everyone know about what we've been talking about here tonight. Please let everyone know that the concern is not voter ID. It is polling place photo ID restrictions, and it is voter suppression. That's the fight. That's the fight that's going to happen between now and November. You people are going to have to wage it. Please be on the right side of this war. All right. Good night, guys. Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com. We'll talk to you soon. Keep it lit, America.